This is Emergency Medicine Match Advice, sponsored by Academic Life and Emergency Medicine, a podcast series designed to help medical students and residents strategically navigate the process of applying for residency in emergency medicine or to EM-sponsored fellowship programs. I'm your host, Mike Gisanti from Stanford University. Let's get started. Welcome to Emergency Medicine Match Advice, a Google Hangout web series sponsored by Academic Life and Emergency Medicine, and its editor-in-chief, the individual who actually turned down Time Magazine's Person of the Year, Dr. Michelle Land from the University of California, San Francisco.
I did. I had to do laundry. I couldn't do it. Such a regretful event. Yeah. I know. Next year, maybe.
It wasn't Donald. It was really you. That's the big secret, everybody. We're back. World with another special episode dedicated to learning about programs in one area of the country. This time it's EM Match Advice for the Detroit Emergency Medicine Programs. Apparently this is Michigan and that is Detroit. In this episode, we're going to do another deep dive into this one region of the country, Detroit, Michigan, to tell you a lot about the EM programs there and also to share some insight into life in the Motor City. So once again, if you're a PD and you're interested in having a similar showcase of the programs in your region, shoot me an email and we can talk. But today, it's all about Michigan. So to offer us their sage advice on the Detroit area programs, we have several program directors with us today. Dr. Eric Olson, Associate Program Director at Detroit Receiving Hospital. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Dr. Ryan Fringer is the Program Director at Beaumont Hospital. Hi, Ryan.
Hey there.
Dr. Patricia Nuhan is the Program Director at St. John Hospital. Thanks for joining us, Patricia.
Thank you, Michael.
And Dr. Mark Anthony Valia, the Program Director at Sinai Grace.
Hi, evening, Michael.
Thanks for joining us. So we have a lot of panelists on today's episode. We're going to get right into the discussion of Detroit, Michigan. Up first is Dr. Eric Olson, Associate PD at Detroit Receiving. Eric, tell us a little bit about what makes your program special.
Hey, Michael. Well, I'd just like to thank my chief resident, Zach Baker, who really got this going for us. You know, emergency medicine is a global phenomenon. He reached out across the country to you to bring some local flavor of Detroit to you. So I'm hoping that everyone gets a nice little flavor of Detroit from our podcast here. What makes the program special for us? We started in 1976, so we have an enormous number of residents out there. Our legacy begins with some folks through the original Detroit General Hospital and extends through Detroit Receiving, which is in its current location since 1980. But we've been having residency classes since 1976. Detroit General really started as an apartment around 1967. Which was around the same time of civil unrest in Detroit. It's been a fantastic program this whole time. And we have almost some of the original practitioners still around that will come to conference for us. A gentleman named Dr. Blaine White, who's in the Institute of Medicine, still comes to our conference intermittently. So we have a fantastic legacy of longtime emergency medicine here, but really coupled with some new innovative things like flipped classroom, the chief residents bringing quizzes to us weekly. It's really a phenomenal time to be in education in Detroit.
Awesome. Well, you know what, Eric, I need some help. Give me the scoop on what your program actually values most in an applicant's file. Is it perhaps, and I've seen a lot of these files, is it the list of hobbies? Like, what is it that you value in your applicant's file?
It's someone who can slackline while they're drinking coffee. No,
yes.
It's not slacklining with coffee. It is a genuine expression of who the person is in their application. And we see that during interview day. That really brings it all together. When you see the applicant that matches the application, we think it's a great experience, a genuine experience, and really wants us to bring people to our program.
All right. And I have a question too, Eric. So this is going to be a little bit of a secret for the students, but neither Michelle nor myself have ever been to Detroit, Michigan. I know. It's crazy. I made it as far as Ann Arbor, and I don't know what happened to my car, but I didn't make it all the way.
Hey, Mike, road trip.
Oh, my God. We're going to be huge in Detroit after this. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
So I'll be impressed if you can survive a car trip with Michelle from California. I will be impressed with that.
You know what a treat that would be for me? Girl, I would die. To be in a car trip with Michelle all the way to Michigan, that'd be outstanding.
But I would die.
Tell me about life in Detroit. Why do you love living in Detroit?
So in full disclosure, I've moved to Ann Arbor and commute for the last 5 years. But if I was smarter, I'd still be in Detroit. If you were in Detroit 10 years ago and you came back yesterday, you wouldn't recognize the place. There's new buildings everywhere. We have new sports stadiums, new restaurants. Everything in Detroit is new. It's the Wild West with less gunfire than there used to be, that's for sure. It's a fantastic place of opportunity right now with new people, young people, and new businesses basically everywhere in Detroit. It's incredible.
A lot of the residents do live downtown Detroit right now too. So it's very interesting to see that shift.
Well, that's great. All right. Well, we're going to hear all about the Motor City, I think, throughout these questions. But we're going to turn our attention to Beaumont Hospital and its program director, Ryan Fringer. So tell us a little bit about the wonderful things going on at Beaumont, Dr. Fringer.
Yeah, so to build on what Eric was saying, there's a great legacy of emergency medicine here in Metro Detroit. And our program and department was really started when Ron Crome and Judy Tintinelli moved 13 miles north, at least for their clinical practice, to Beaumont Hospital, Royal Oak. We've grown up a lot since then, though. That was back in the early 80s. This program was started in 84. We've grown up a lot since. We now take 14 PGY1s each year for our three-year curriculum in emergency medicine. And the program is based here at the Royal Oak Hospital, which is a busy tertiary care center. And one tidbit that folks may not know is that despite being in a non-urban area, this is one of the top 10 busiest emergency centers in the country with over 130,000 visits in 2016. And fortunately, we just opened a brand new emergency center August 30th of this year. It's a pretty impressive facility. 125,000 square feet. So we just about doubled our square footage and we'll be up to 138 beds to really serve this population the way it should be served. It's a great place to learn emergency medicine. We've got a very high admit rate, hovering right around 38%. And that's and we've got 1,100 beds upstairs and we keep them full. So if you're looking for the candidates that are really looking for a ICU and critical care heavy program, this is certainly it. One area that's unique also, I think, with Beaumont is that our division of pediatric emergency medicine is actually located right in our department. The emergency center here at Royal Oak has hosts the clinical department for the division of pediatric emergency medicine. The faculty are right in our department. Our residents interact with those PEM faculty and fellows throughout their entire curriculum. And they really, we have really by design and very deliberately intercalated PEDS into the experience of our residency. And just to close out, we are the sole clinical site for our own medical school. It's one of the newest allopathic medical schools in the country, Oakland University William Beaumont School of Medicine, which it may be new, but it's got a very long name. We're very proud of that, and that and education and learning the fundamentals of teaching will certainly be part of the curriculum. Just before we move on, I do want to say that in terms of full disclosure, I'm actually transitioning out of the role of program director in January, and I'm very happy to announce that my associate program director, Danielle Turner Lawrence, will be taking over for me. But I'm going to be moving up into the Office of Graduate Medical Education as the associate director overseeing Royal Oak, Troy, and Grosse Pointe. So I'm still going to be around. It'll be the same program, same curriculum, but a fresh set of eyes.
Hey, Ryan, congratulations on that position. That is epic news. That's huge. and Craig, congratulations on that promotion. And so now that you don't really have a direct tie, why don't you give us the real scoop now? Tell us exactly, since your residents have a whole host of opportunities and patient acuities, a lot of things they can do. But what would you say makes your residents successful in your program?
Sure. And I don't know that this is necessarily unique to our program, but there's a ton of opportunity at Beaumont. And we really look for individuals who are going to take advantage of what we have here. And we certainly expect all residents in our program to develop competency in this specialty. And as I mentioned earlier, develop a skill around teaching, not only fundamentals, but more advanced teaching skills. But one thing we really focus on is working with these residents one-on-one to develop an area of interest and also some bona fide accomplishments in that area. So we're looking for people who are interested in, let's say, leadership and advocacy and get involved then on the local, regional, state, and national level to really advance some of the objectives of our specialty and our specialty organizations. And whether your interests are process improvement or pediatrics or ultrasound or EMS, you know, we have it all here for you, but we're really looking for people who are going to be motivated to take advantage of diving right in.
So Ryan, I have a question as well. The students don't get an appreciation of the before we hit record or after we turn the cameras off, and all the banter that the PDs provide us. It's very entertaining for Michelle and I. But you guys obviously get along really well. And one of the nice parts of these regional episodes is that students can get an understanding of all of the perks of going to a region of the country with a lot of programs that collaborate. So can you tell me a little bit about how the Detroit area programs collaborate with one another and why that might benefit a student who's considering training in Detroit?
Yeah, no question. We do get together, at least in different forums, program directors and other educators with some regularity. And one of the unique things about this state is, and this region specifically, is that there are so many residencies, there are so many residency positions, and also with the number of historically osteopathic programs that are now seeking ACGME accreditation, we're even seeing more and more programs in our neck of the woods. But so you're exactly right. I mean, the four of us are know each other certainly on a first name basis. And from a resident perspective, there is also a fair amount of collaboration. I think the most obvious examples of this, we do sponsor regional grand rounds for both toxicology and emergency ultrasonography. And those are independent programs, but they really showcase the faculty from all these programs that have expertise in these areas to provide a great educational experience for the residents across southeastern Michigan and actually beyond. So those are just a few of the examples, but as you alluded to, we do know each other behind the scenes.
I think another example of a collaboration between the emergency medicine programs can be linked to a couple of other things. So the Wayne State affiliated programs do combine efforts with teaching directly at bedside for ultrasound. So we have an ultrasound fellowship and our residents will rotate at the three different sites. So that's very unusual as a collaboration. And then even across the state, we have the Emergency Medicine Residency Association meeting every year, and there's research that's presented. We have simulation wars as well as a sonocup that the residents and all the programs participate in. So in a lot of different areas, we do collaborate.
Who are the Wayne State affiliated programs? I know there's several, and maybe it's just worth mentioning all of them now.
Actually, three here. So Detroit Receiving, Sinai Grace, and St. John. In particular.
All right. Well, let's learn a little more about St. John from Dr. Newhan. Can you tell us some of the unique features of the St. John program?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for hosting and having us here. But the main thing that I would say that kind of distinguishes St. John from the other programs is our hybrid nature. We're definitely an amalgam of both an urban and a suburban setting, academic and community setting, all in one hospital. Our hospital sits right on the border of Detroit and Grosse Pointe, some of the most affluent, some of the poorest neighborhoods on the east side of Detroit. And so the patients that we see and our residents get exposed to are varied. We have a high volume, about 120,000 visits per year in our ED. Our acuity is high as well. We're a level one trauma center in both adult and pediatrics. We have a diversity in medical problems, high volumes of cardiac patients and stroke patients, nephro patients, in addition to blunt and penetrating trauma in high numbers. And the PEDS component, I think, is very important, having it under one roof. As Ryan indicated at Beaumont, having that PEDS training and getting a continuum of care in pediatric patients and the problems they present with, I think, is an important way to learn that material. So every time our residents are in the even adult ED months, they get a block of pediatric EM shifts and they're interacting with the PEDS EM physicians in resuscitation and in lecture every week. But the hybrid nature is very unique. Because of where we're located, we're in a unique position to have our residents exposed to various medical problems in high acuity and also social problems and expectations simultaneously. So that kind of makes us a little bit different. We're probably the youngest program represented here today. We started in 1995, graduated our first class in 97. We are affiliated with Wayne State, but also affiliated with Central Michigan, as well as St. George's University. So we have multiple affiliations and a lot of students coming through our department. Another interesting thing that maybe other programs don't know about or a fact that you might not know is that we have an affiliation with the Wayne County SWAT team. And so we have a tactical team and medical education will help support two of our residents to participate in that team with the educational piece and some of the equipment. So that's an interesting avenue that some of our residents have open to them. And most recently, we've incorporated a lot of the flipped classroom. We have a very active simulation development and simulation program for our residents. And we've also started residency tracks for specific interests, for example, in medical education or wilderness medicine or EMS. And residents can start their own track. And we get residents involved from all three classes, as well as a faculty mentor, and that kind of guides their research. One other point to make about our residency program is that St. John as a whole requires each resident who does training in the hospital to do a research project. So it's kind of a more democratic approach to research. We don't just choose certain individuals to do research. Everyone has to do a research project. Those residency tracks kind of help direct their research with like-minded residents and faculty members.
Well, hey, Patricia, after hearing all of that, Mike, by the way, I think I need to do a residency program again. I'm like, dang, sign me up for that. I should do that. So, all right. So let's say I'm doing interview season. How would someone like me who is interviewing at your program, how would they stand out in not a good way, but more shine in your interview season?
You know, what I look for in a candidate is someone who's a really good communicator, someone who will be able to handle the rigors of our high volume and high diversity in patient population. And I want someone who's genuine, somebody who is the real deal, someone who you would want to have on a shift with you, somebody who is what their file represents. I also, in particular, look at their abilities on other services. So I don't want them to just do honors in emergency medicine, but someone who does strong work in all of the clinical curriculum.
And Patricia, I like these regional episodes because it helps us dispel some myths for the students. And one of the biggest myths I think about any region that's densely populated with a lot of programs is that you need an in to get in, right? So, you know, you're talking about all these affiliations with in-state schools and number of programs all affiliating with Wayne State, which I know is a huge medical school and a lot of students going into emergency medicine. Is there an advantage for those students because they're already in the region of your programs? Do you guys have in-state preference? Do students need to rotate amongst your own programs in Detroit to be able to match to the Detroit programs?
I don't think that in order to match, they absolutely don't have to rotate. I think it's an advantage for the student because they can see what our program is about and they can showcase themselves to us during a clinical rotation. But we take rotators from other schools as well and absolutely match outside of the Midwest and outside of Detroit students.
Do any of the other panelists have a different answer? Anybody else prefer Michigan students?
You know, one of the things that makes emergency medicine so compelling as a specialty is some of the regionality that exists in our practice. And we really look to bring in people from all over the country who have done their medical school training at institutions throughout the 50 states and bring them here to Detroit, show them something new, or at least Metro Detroit. And also, we're quite proud of our graduates who then go out back to these areas of the country that may be their hometowns and kind of spread the word of what it's like to train in southeastern Michigan. And, you know, geographically, I think that this is not, you know, Southern California or Northern California, if that's your cup of tea. But for those who live here, there's a lot of pride in Metro Detroit and Michigan overall. And I think that that does rub off on a lot of our graduates. And we're seeing, especially with the rebound of this city, we're seeing a lot more of our graduates wanting to stay in southeastern Michigan, which is great for us also.
All right, awesome. Well, let's switch gears to our final panelist, our final program, and our final program director, Dr. Mark Leah from Sinai Grace. And I want to hear all about Sinai Grace, but I especially want to hear about why it's called Sinai Grace, because I think it's a really cool name for a program. So maybe you could start there.
Yeah, one of the fun things about our program is that we're misunderstood as being Wright State University in lieu of Wayne State University. And the other thing is that we're Sinai in pick any other city in the country that has a Sinai hospital. So we get misinformed or misunderstood by different programs in the country, but we are in Detroit. We're in Northwest Detroit. Sinai Grace became a merger between two hospitals of Sinai in on Outer Drive, which is just north of the current site where we are at Sinai Grace, and Grace Hospital, which absorbed Sinai back in the late 90s. And so we became Sinai Grace Emergency Medicine. We actually started in 1982 as our first year of EM residents. And the program director at the time was Dr. Gloria Kuhn, who is, I think, well known to most everyone across the country and especially everyone here on the panel. And we honor her greatly by trying to follow in her huge footsteps that she's laid out for us. Over those years, the next 10 years, we were Mount Carmel from the 82 until about the early 90s. And then the DMC bought out Grace Hospital, and we became a DMC residency with Wayne State University. And then in the late 90s, we became Santa Grace Hospital and who we are today for the last almost 20 years. So it's been a long path. We've been a lot of different names, which I think confused a lot of people. I think everyone thinks that we're a younger program, and I'm happy to say that we have some youth, both in the faculty and the great researchers, as well as a lot of history behind us with a lot of people training in our programs and training the residents of our programs. Santa Grace, we're in Northwest Detroit, like I mentioned. We're on 6 Mile and Schaefer. Scary corner, because when you hear national news about Detroit, a lot of times it's in Northwest Detroit. We joke that they don't always say our hospital when they mention that someone gets taken to a hospital. But that's one of the fun things that maybe you don't want to be identified if you're a victim, unfortunately. But we have great patients in our area. We have 100,000 patients per year, which we've been holding since 2014. Not as big as some of the other programs here, but definitely a large size program. We're a level 2, one of the few in the area. But we function like a level 1, as we have all EMS coming at us with blunt and penetrating trauma, as well as pediatrics, which we do see. And that's one of the highlights, I think, of our program, is that we see pediatrics on a daily basis, not just at times where we have the residents rotating in a peds EM rotation, which we do as well, but we have it every day. So any given time, about 25% of the patients that the residents will see on a daily shift will be pediatrics, fortunately. So it's a great kind of longitudinal exposure to peds, along with our trauma exposure. Trauma is one of the things we like to highlight only because we're one of the few programs in the country, I think maybe less than 15%, where EM runs the trauma resuscitations. And I think that's a really great benefit to our residents, as well as to the faculty that work there. It's a nice little difference in how we run it. We fortunately have an outstanding relationship with our trauma surgery group, who has allowed us to be the leaders. And we have the fortune of not having to alternate procedure days as well. And we do share those with the surgical residents, but they know who gets them first, which is our EM residents. And funny story, just the other day, one of our trauma surgeons, early morning, comes on shift, trauma coming in. His surgical senior resident is supposed to be showing up at the Detroit Trauma Symposium, which was our 65th anniversary in Detroit here. And he told him to go to the symposium. And in comes a penetrating trauma to the chest. And he shooed that resident away, surgical resident, but he did perform a great thoracotomy with one of our second year EM residents, and actually clamshelling the patient. So one of the fun things and highlights of our program is the trauma exposure, as well as the pediatric exposure. We are a three-year categorical program. We have 12 residents per year, and hopefully going to get 14 at some point. I've been talking about that for the last couple of years, but we're waiting for the cap to hopefully release off of the DMC. I don't know how soon that's going to happen, but we keep working for 14, as we do have the volume and the great exposure for our residents. Some of the other great highlights in our... Oh, sorry, Michelle, please go ahead.
I just want to interrupt briefly because you kind of gave that history of how your name has changed, but you're such a legacy program that, I mean, no matter what your name is, all of your graduates who've come out of there, I've been super impressed with in terms of their work ethic and their skill set with the acuity, and they're just like nice, normal human beings. So I just wanted to put that out there for the listeners, but continue. Sorry.
Well, thank you. No, thank you very much. And actually, I want to shoot out a thank you to you for taking Sam Shake a few years ago, one of our senior residents who has shown the way with Allium and shown us the way. And thank you so much, because he's grown from that and he's helped our program grow tremendously ever since he was here and since he's left. You know, Dr. Ann Messman, part of the facubator this last, I think, 2 years now, and joining Allium in a great way and really bringing the Santa Grace name across the country with you guys. So thank you very much.
No problem. It's a joint world domination effort. I'm happy to share that mantra with you. But no, so you know, listen, you have some amazing graduates, and I'm just trying to figure out how you are able to keep your residents so sane and resilient in this really sounds like a chaotic work environment. And wellness is a thing that we're all challenged with and trying to balance. Any words of advice or insights there?
I think a lot of the wellness comes from the great relations that the residents have with each other, as well as with the faculty. And I think it starts off that each year we have a resident retreat. We share it with our sister program, which is Detroit Receiving Hospital, with Eric's team over there and Dr. Griffin's team over there at Receiving. And we take all of the interns, as well as all of the third years, together to Camp Tamarack. So if you want to use the hand, as you guys mentioned, Detroit's down here. We drive about an hour and a half north to Camp Tamarack, which has been around for probably over 60 years as a great camp. And we do some great leadership training. And I think that's where it all starts, that wellness. They get to meet each other, learn each other, get to share experiences. And then we have that big sib, little sib kind of interaction with our educational sessions after the initial outdoor fun that we have with the leadership training. So I think that helps really build that. Then throughout the year, we have these fun events where senior residents teach the interns. And then we have the journal clubs, which I joke that it's an academic event that devolves into a social event afterwards. Fortunately, we're also trying to formalize everything. And this year, Dr. Messman's going to be implementing the great wellness curriculum that Ilium has brought out to all of us. And I'm really excited about seeing what product it's going to have and its effects on us, hopefully positive, which I know for sure it'll be positive, but hopefully we'll be rolling that in very shortly.
Hey, Mike, I think we need to have our road trip kind of coordinate with one of their wellness events.
Right? Why wouldn't we? I'm all for it. Anytime. Anytime you guys want to have us out. I mean, preferably in the summer.
No problem. Beautiful summer.
You know, and Mark, I also want to shout out to your program and shout out to Dr. Kuhn, who has taught me so much through CORD. I remember she ran the CORD Academic Assembly when I went to my first CORD meeting in 2003. And it was tiny back in D.C. I don't know if anyone on the panel used to go back then. There's maybe less than 100 people. It was a neat time to learn from her, and she did a great job back then. But final question, you know, we've been talking a little bit about living in Detroit, and I'd like to hear a bit about the cost of living in sort of the new Detroit now, right? You guys have rebuilt downtown. Can you buy a home? Is it good for families? I think it's sort of a unique city in its rebirth these days.
Absolutely. That's the great thing about Detroit. There has been several residents, as Dr. Newhan mentioned out earlier, that are living downtown in Midtown, just north of all the construction from the new Little Caesars Arena, which is next to Comerica Park, which is where the Tigers play, next to Ford Field, which is where the Lions play. So a lot of that's really booming. And so the residents are choosing to live downtown and doing the reverse commute up to us, which in Northwest Detroit, where we are. But even around us, there's so many communities. I mean, people live in Royal Oak in Dr. Fringer's backyard where he practices, or in Berkeley nearby, or pick your great little city where you can have a backyard. Residents can buy a home. Cost of living in Michigan is low, even with the salaries much greater than mine when I was a resident, but cost of living adjustments and everything are great for them. But they can have their families there and really enjoy life in Detroit. We're a foodie city, as has been mentioned already. Lots of great restaurants and so many ethnic cultures all around the city really have a great effect on our Detroit. And it really enriches the lives, I think, of everyone.
The other thing is the natural beauty in Michigan in general. We have our Great Lakes, but we also have Lake St. Clair, which is the largest inland lake besides the Great Lakes. So our residents 5 minutes away from St. John can go sailing, boating, swimming, and have access to beautiful parks and great school systems as well. So the Detroit area and Southeast Michigan in general is a great place to live and to go to school and to have families. And yeah, the houses are affordable. We've had residents who purchase homes and kind of turn them around in a 3-year period and make some money off of it too. It's a great place to live.
Yeah, this is stage information about Pure Michigan. Michelle, my final takeaway is that the volume at these hospitals and the number of EM programs in general in Michigan, both really high through the roof numbers. What's going on with the Michiganders in all of their emergencies? So many emergencies. Like, I don't understand it, but your takeaway is?
Oh, for me, there's so many takeaways. First of all, I got a great geography lesson. And for those of you on the podcast, I'm holding up a hand where Detroit is, and it's not like spirit fingers or jazz hands. It's like Michigan. And the second thing is that I had no idea that all four of your programs are such legacy programs. You've been around forever with all these amazing graduates out here across the country and around the world. I get a sense that all of you guys are really proud of and have this Detroit camaraderie amongst you, which is very cool to hear, especially with the banter beforehand. I'm sure to follow after this. We'll just keep this PG today. But the tracks that you have for leadership opportunities, the high acuity patients, all of that. Amazing. I'm going to have to do residency program again, perhaps somewhere in Detroit.
One of our grads was one of the physicians in Las Vegas at the only level one trauma center on the Strip. He got over 200 patients within the first hour. And another one of our most recent grads had gone there to work, and they called him in as well. And so the two out of the four EM docs were from St. John and did a lot of amazing work and saved a lot of people. And we were really proud of them there. Kevin Menace, who was that particular more senior physician, said that he got his training in Detroit and saw the volume and was able to handle that. So we were really proud of that.
Even more legacy stuff. That's great. With that, thank you to our four panelists, students, check out Detroit Receiving, Beaumont, St. John, and Sinai Grace, and all the Michigan programs. Thanks, Michelle, for hosting, and good luck in the match, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Emergency Medicine Match Advice. You can view any of our episodes for free on Allium's YouTube channel, or if you prefer, listen to the episodes as Allium podcasts on SoundCloud. Also, check out summaries of our episodes as blog posts on Allium.com and in the publication A User's Guide to the Allium EM Match Advice series in the June 2017 issue of the Western Journal of Emergency Medicine. We love to hear from our listeners. Post your questions or comments for any of our episodes on Allium.com. Thanks for joining us.